The passage from God's Word that we're going to hear tonight points back to it. It's from the very beginning of the Bible, the first book in the Bible in the fourth chapter. It's on the back of the sheets that you've been given tonight, or if you have a Bible that you're using. We're looking at Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. And this is God's Word to us, and Pastor Chris is going to come and share more from this with us in a little while. But let's listen now to God's Word. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I've brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain, so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. This is God's Word, trustworthy and true.
Two men, born worlds apart. They have nothing in common except the same date of birth. William Lowell Cain is a wealthy and powerful Boston Brahmin, while Abel Rosnovsky, originally named Vladek Koskiewicz, is a Pole born into desperate poverty, who eventually emigrates to the United States. William follows the steps of his father, Richard Cain, to become a successful banker. When William was still a child, Richard dies in the Titanic disaster, leaving William fatherless and heir to the Cain and Cabot Bank. Vladek Koskiewicz is born in a forest and raised by a trapper family. But he's found to have exceptional intelligence. Eventually, he migrates to America and assumes the name Abel Rosnovsky. He starts his life as a waiter in the Hotel Plaza while taking night classes in business. He becomes manager of the hotel. Abel is a great success and buys stock in the chain. Eventually, he gets control of the chain of hotels, and he seeks revenge on the Cain and Cabot Bank for not supporting the chain in the Great Depression. Abel thus considers Cain his arch rival. Jeffrey Archer has many faults, but he does tell a good story. And I can recommend this one. I admire Jeffrey Archer in this respect for taking his inspiration from the Bible, from the original Cain and Abel. They provide, in fact, an insight into the human condition. They're both sinners. That's the tragic storyline of Genesis so far. God created a perfect world, but Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel's parents, sinned. They disobeyed God, and they brought disaster on themselves, and brought disaster into the world. This story is not for the faint-hearted. Cain and Abel are both sinners, like their parents. But Cain dies in his sin. Abel dies forgiven, right with God. There was a time when our friends who are being baptized this evening were lost in their sin. They were cut off from God. They were heading for hell. But now they have something for which Abel is commended. They have faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And through their faith in Christ, they have been forgiven, brought into a relationship with God, and saved from hell for heaven. And I want to explain this evening how this can be true of you and me too. Got three headings. A sinner is born. Well, actually two are. Secondly, a sinner is condemned. And thirdly, a sinner is saved. Firstly, then, a sinner is born, or rather two are. Verse 1, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. Cain sounds like the Hebrew for brought forth. The last time I preached on this chapter of the Bible was the week my darling daughter Elizabeth was born, 7 years ago. When my darling Miriam was born, my son Robbie, who's given permission for me to tell this story, my son Robbie famously reported that Mummy was very tired after all that squeezing. No doubt Eve was very tired after all that squeezing. And that's what Cain stands for. The struggle to give birth. Had Adam and Eve not sinned, there would have been far less pain in childbirth. It's part of the curse of sin in chapter 3, verse 16. A sinner is brought forth from the pain of childbirth. But we never think when a child is born, the child is a sinner. Clearly, babies are innocent. But King David says, surely I was sinful from my mother's womb. In other words, we're born with a sinful nature. We're born with a bias towards doing wrong. We never have to teach our children to do wrong. It just comes naturally. This is what Christians call original sin. Cain is born a sinner. And the same is true of Abel in verse 2. They're both sinners. Secondly, a sinner is condemned. Look at verse 2, the second half of verse 2. Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. That's fine. We need meat, we need wool, and we need grain. Both of these are noble professions. And Abel and Cain both understand that they must worship God. So verse 3, Cain brings a sacrifice to God. He brings some of the crops he's grown. Verse 4, Abel brings some of the fat portions of his sheep. Sounds rather delicious. Incidentally, I do hope you all buy Welsh lamb and not New Zealand. It's bad enough that they always beat us in rugby. So let's not buy their lambs as well. So Abel brings some of the sheep, and when Cain brings his crops and Abel brings his lambs, God looks with favor on Abel and his offering. But verse 5, on Cain and his offering, the Lord does not look with favor. What's the problem with Cain's offering? Well, I'm going to show you in a moment that Cain does not bring his offering with faith, to use biblical terminology. Cain brings his offering in his flesh, in his sinful nature. This is like when I go through the motions in church, and I just turn up, sing the hymns, say the prayers, look the part, but it is without faith. It's a purely human activity. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If our actions do not proceed from faith in God, they are sin. If our actions are not rooted in a right heart attitude to God, they are sin. I think this is easily illustrated. It's a bit like being in a bad mood. Now, you won't believe this, but sometimes I get in a bad mood. Normally, I do not stop doing my work. I keep on doing my administration, preparing sermons, visiting people, and I can even pin a smile across my face so that most people wouldn't know. But God knows. And God knows why I'm in a bad mood. He sees my heart. He sees if I'm angry, or bitter, or resentful, or selfish. And he's not impressed if I've written a sermon or visited someone. He's not impressed by my outward performance as a minister. He's looking at my heart. And he's asking the question, do Chris's religious activities proceed from faith? Or is he trying to impress people? Or is he indulging his ego? Is faith at the bottom of it? Or something else? Is it self? Is self at the bottom of it? I'm sorry to say I get this wrong, and millions of others get this wrong. Millions are like Cain. They bring an outward sacrifice to God. Maybe it's a sacrifice of time, or money, or even praise. And God says, I disapprove. I'm not impressed. I will not accept this. Your religion will not save you. Cain is in the place of condemnation before God. Now, what should he have done at this point? He should have said, Oh God! Have mercy on me. Oh God, do not reject me. Oh God, forgive me. Oh God, I need you. That's what he should have said. The biblical word for this is repentance. He should have repented. To repent means to change your mind, to think differently, and to change your behavior, to live differently. All of those being baptized this evening must publicly state that they repent of their sins. They've turned away from their old life of rebellion against God. Repentance is a wonderful thing. Those who repent of their sins and put their faith in Jesus are saved from hell for heaven. I thank God from the bottom of my heart that he has given me repentance fundamentally. He's enabled me to leave behind my old life. And on a daily basis, he enables me to keep on repenting, so that when I mess up, I can be friends with God again. I'm so grateful for this. But tragically, this was not true of Cain. Verse 5, he was very angry, and his face was downcast. Now, I have to say, I have some sympathy with him. Rejection is a horrible thing. And Cain has just been rejected by God. Is there anything worse than that? To feel angry was a natural reaction. We would all have felt the same way. But he still shouldn't have stayed in his anger. He should have repented. He should have humbled himself before God. He should have said, "You are God. I bow before you. You're in control. I submit my will to yours." Now, it would not surprise me in a group of this size if there are people here who are angry with God. This is a very natural thing. We feel angry with God when we're disappointed. We didn't get that job. Our marriage didn't work out. We got sick. We didn't get that ministry opportunity. Let's be honest. These things make us angry. But learn the lesson of Cain. If we stay angry, it ends in disaster. If you stay angry with God and will not submit to him, you're courting disaster. Learn from Cain. He should have repented of his anger. And then, verse 5, his face would not have been downcast. When we're estranged from God, we're bound to feel depressed. That's why we eat and drink too much and take drugs. We're trying to fill the void. And look, verse 5, God speaks to Cain. This should not be understated. This was a very great privilege. God is still interested in Cain. It's not too late for Cain. Verse 6, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Verse 7, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Repent, Cain. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. That's so true, isn't it? Sin will either master us, or we will master it. See, we think we can just try something once. But when we do, we're inviting sin to be our master. In fact, we're inviting Satan to be our master. So Cain is given a clear warning by God himself, just as God is warning every single one of us here tonight. But what does Cain do? He takes Abel out to the field, and there he murders him. Even now, God doesn't stop speaking to him. God gives every opportunity for repentance. Verse 9, where is your brother Abel? Cain should have said, oh God, I've sinned. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Because God is merciful. If God is speaking to you, prompting you to repent, he is merciful. He will forgive you. But Cain does not repent. In fact, he tries to deceive God. How stupid is that? Am I my brother's keeper? And so God's judgment falls on Cain, verse 10. What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. You will never be a successful farmer again. You will be a restless wanderer, always on the run. And now that it's too late, Cain asks for mercy. This is so like us. He's sorry now that he's been caught. The punishment is too much for him. He can't bear to be separated from God's presence. He's terrified he's going to be killed. And amazingly, God doesn't just abandon him to his fate. Verse 15, God puts a mark of protection on Cain. Cain is lost. But even in his anger, God shows some mercy. Well, let me give you some good news. Number 3, a sinner is saved. Now, that's a strange thing to say, because Cain is lost and Abel is dead. Except that he's not dead. The writer to the Hebrew tells us, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Abel still speaks from beyond the grave. He is not lost. He is saved. He is in heaven. He is with God. And he speaks to us. And he tells us to have faith. This quotation is from Hebrews 11. And the writer to the Hebrews presents a galaxy, or rather a great cloud of witnesses, all of whom are dead, and yet, in a sense, speak to us. And what they say to us is, have faith. It's all true. Jesus is God. Jesus is to be worshipped. Jesus is to be trusted. Jesus' death in our place on the cross is the way to heaven. Repent of your sin. Trust in Jesus. That's what Abel is saying to us from beyond the grave. Well, this is my faith. This is the faith of the church. This is the faith of those being baptized. I offer you Christ. May you escape the judgment of Cain and find the salvation of Abel. And you do that very simply by saying to God, yes. I need this. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need forgiveness. And I know Jesus died on the cross for me. I know he paid there for my sin. Yes, Lord, I want this. I want to repent of my sins. I want to follow Christ.